Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Triangulation, episode 72, recorded October 3rd, 2012. John Hodgman. Triangulation is brought to you by Audible.com. For the free audiobook of your choice, visit audiblepodcast.com/triangulation. It's time for Triangulation, the show where we get such interesting people and spend an hour with them. And it's actually one of my favorite things to do on TWiT, and this one especially, because somebody I just adore is here. He is a comedian. He is a failed literary agent. I don't know.
Failed, now, wait a right? minute. Failed.
A highly successful.
Former professional literary agents. I sold a book at least.
Did you?
Sure.
John Hodgman is with us, and it's on the celebratory occasion of the audio and paperback version of his most recent book.
Neither of which is that. This is the hardcover edition.
Yeah, I have the expensive, high quality.
Right, because
it's ow.
That's hard. That's the tough one.
is all, which is the third in the trilogy of
Complete World Knowledge.
Everything you'd ever want to know.
Right.
And this one focuses particularly on the end of the world, which is coming in December, Ragnarok.
That's why you need both editions, because this one, after the collapse of civilization, is useful as a... This is a
perfect.
Weapon.
That could be.
Say,
ow!
Whereas the soft cover is more useful as fuel.
Fuel?
Yeah. Burns more easily.
And what would you use the audiobook for?
Consolation.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'll need that.
What a pleasure to be here.
Such a thrill to have you.
Thank
you for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, were the lights bothering your eyes? Is that...
I'm sorry about that. This is a nice setup you have here in Petaluma.
Thank you very much.
I tried to dress for Petaluma.
Yeah, you look Western. You got a Western shirt, little flowers.
That's
beautiful.
I'm going to raise some chickens after
Pearl
this.
Pearl buttons. Are you in town for...
I'm in town for this.
For this?
Don't you understand?
There's nothing else going on in Petaluma.
I flew across the country to be here with
you. Thank
you.
It's so
great. Because, you talked to my friend Jonathan Colton.
I did last week.
And we've spoken all the time, you and I. I'm such a fan.
You're a regular on our holiday special.
That's true.
Yeah. So two or three years running, we consumed huge amounts of Jägermeister.
But I couldn't be here for it because I live in my...
Brooklyn.
My survival brownstone in Park Slope.
And Chateau Marmont.
And so I couldn't drink with you.
Yeah.
And Colton, Colton and I, we would watch the... Am I allowed to say the network that you
the Tech TV?
Am
the
I
Tech
allowed
TV?
To say that?
Yeah, of course.
Or is the spite too great?
The spite is great.
Yeah,
in this one,
I agree. Spite is great. But long before any of this, and of course, long before any of this, Jonathan Colton and I would watch you on that show.
You were that young; you couldn't grow facial hair.
Yeah, I can barely. the only reason this is happening is because I can't grow a beard. Like this is literally every whisker that I have is deployed now.
You should be grateful. You have a boyish visage. It's good.
That's true. I look like a weird mustached baby.
Exactly.
It's not
a strange amount of hair.
But Colton and I we watch you on that all the time. And Colton is always the guy who would tell me what's what with regard to the computers.
Yeah, he was
Colton
your technical
is to me
expert.
As you are to the rest of the to the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jonathan, he's a programmer. He's very technical.
And I would watch. You would talk some gobbledygook about computers and so forth. But I appreciate you because you are a broadcasting professional. You have probably the greatest radio voice that I've ever heard in my
life. Thank you very much. Why am I not on your audiobook?
Well, because...
You've got Dick Cavett?
Yeah.
My hero?
Lives in New York.
Ah.
Rachel Maddow lives in New York.
Lives in New York.
John Hamm comes to New York from time to time.
Of Mad Men fame. What did John Hamm do on the audiobook?
So the audiobook of That Is All has come out. Now, That Is All is my third and final book of complete world knowledge after The Areas of My Expertise and More Information Than You Require. Those were the first two.
Yes.
And this one covers everything that I didn't cover in those. The two subjects that that I previously refused to cover, wine, because it's disgusting, and sports, because everyone else is covering it.
Right.
And I don't know anything about it until now. wealth, which I know a little bit about, and the end of the world, which we should all be concerned about, because the Mayans, as you know, are threatening our livelihood by predicting that the world is going to end on December 21st of this year.
Yes.
Leaving the earth consumed by fire and flood and famine, leaving only John Cusack alive, like we've seen in the movies.
Yes. Yeah. How fortunately, if this book would help you as a guide to surviving those days.
Well, I think it might ease the pain as existence comes to an end.
Oh, so it's really not, there's nothing more after this in John Cusack.
Well, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen on December 21st. It could be that, as I predict, the world suffers a huge electromagnetic omega pulse. Massive solar storms reverse the Earth's polarity, the century toad cracks the Earth in half, and we're all consumed by the blood wave. Or it could be an awakening of consciousness or nothing at all. But either way, this book will prepare you for some
of
that.
I got to point out, the blood wave is supposed to begin in just 3 days.
Yeah, well...
So the clock is ticking down.
You had better find a house that is at least... 5,000 feet above sea level, or get a houseboat.
When does the century toad strike? Is that later?
That's later. The century toad is almost
now,
at the very end.
I don't want to be a killjoy, but I do have to point out as we go back in time, for instance, September 27th, which has already passed, the sky over Montana finally collapses, crushing all below it. That didn't happen.
Well, they're covering it up.
Oh, it did happen.
Yeah. It fell down, and now the government has covered up the sky with a tarp.
See.
I brought you something, by the way, on this.
Oh, real mayonnaise.
This is mayonnaise.
You know, I've been using that fake stuff for so long.
Well, that's actually from your refrigerator here. Because I realized I came empty-handed.
It's chilly.
Yeah. Yeah, mayonnaise is usually better that way. When you're stocking your survival bunker... There are a couple things that you want to have, and you want to start stockpiling mayonnaise now because it's a terrific hair conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural topical analgesic. If you get a sunburn, you can put mayonnaise on your.
Fantastic.
If you got a sunburned face, put mayonnaise on your face, and then it doubles as a quick short-term albino mask. And also, you spread it out on some garbage bags.
Uh-huh.
And put it out on the lawn, and you get a slip and slide.
So this is really many uses.
Yeah. You leave it out in the sun for a while, it becomes a handy poison.
1,001 uses. Yeah.
The only other thing that's more useful than mayonnaise is urine.
Okay.
To stockpile. And I left some of that for you here as well.
I noticed.
Yeah.
The bathroom door was locked for a very long time. So
wine, wealth, sports, the end of the world.
Get us back on track.
That is all.
It's all in here.
And the audiobook has come out for download only via Audible. Are you familiar?
Yes, I am familiar. In fact, we have some
buzz marketing.
We have some clips on our website at twit.tv that we got pre-release. They're not good now because it came out yesterday.
Yeah, but you know, they're still free.
They're still free. Do you want to just play? Do you have anything to hand there, John? I could play it, probably. I have a...
I'm acting it out for you.
We don't really need the clips because you are here in person, but I just...
Hey, how about one last song for the road?
Sounds for old time's sake?
I guess the road for me and...
I don't have anything in my
Why'd you turn it down?
Brave. How about one more song?
So something nautical, then?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Maybe something peppy.
That's
like
Jonathan Colton.
A sea shanty or like a...
Nah, how about something sad and haunting?
Yeah.
Something for the end of the world.
Don't play this.
It's too sad and haunting. Is it too sad?
Too sad and haunting.
It's melancholy.
That's Jonathan and I singing the famous sea hymn, nautical hymn for those in peril on the sea.
We heard a little bit of that last weekend.
Haunting, isn't it?
It was more than haunting. It was depressing, actually.
It's the end of the world is pretty depressing.
Sad.
But we were talking because we are on this cruise together, the Jonathan Colton cruise.
Yes, Joko Crazy.
Joko Cruise Crazy 1 and 2 and 3 is coming.
Coming.
Up. Yeah.
When is that?
I don't know. You have to ask Jonathan.
Website.
I don't make
I
any money on that
here.
Thing. Why are you asking me?
You don't make any money on that. They really ought to do
free,
something.
I got a free cruise and fun times with my friends. And
there you go.
And I grew a mustache out of it.
He said they're getting to the point now where they're going to have to actually buy a boat.
Yeah, I'm building a boat for
them
right now.
It's so big.
Yep. It's an Ark of Nerds. And we'll all cruise the blood wave into the next
fantastic
world.
February 10th through 17th.
We friends, we do things for each other. That's what it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jonathan's all over my audiobook.
Yes.
Dick Cavett has nothing better to do than come down and...
He's a Yalie.
Yeah, he's a Yalie. He is, that's right.
Did he make that connection? I mean, was that a part of the thing? Was that he thought he'd help a fellow Blue?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a whole thing in my audiobook about how Yale people recognize each other and split their money.
We don't generally talk about
split
that
their
around here.
Split their money when they meet each other.
Yeah, we try
whatever
to
they have
that.
In their pockets.
Yeah, whatever's in the pockets, huh?
What do you check? Got?
There's nothing. There's no wallet. I'm like the Queen. I don't carry any money with me.
Me neither.
People.
You can have my Sharpie. There you go.
I'll split it with you.
Yeah.
Is this your... Wait a minute. No, because this is your autographing pen.
It's just a Sharpie. For heaven's sakes, it's just a Sharpie.
It's a bronze Sharpie.
I can go to any deranged millionaire supermarket.
Just
and
take your
this.
Shoes off and relax.
Do you mind
enjoy.
If I... It's just really...
Not the socks. No. He's barefoot on the... You know what's interesting is this... This must be... something you do a lot because you're barefoot in the author photo as well.
Well, it's part of my guide to dressing like a deranged millionaire.
Okay, let's talk about the deranged millionaire because I thought the mustache was the deranged millionaire look, and it's still there. In fact, it's spreading.
Well, I've only grown more deranged. Though I think my funds have depleted somewhat.
Sub-millionaire.
I came out of the experience of writing the first two books with my life dramatically changed. I created this character called the Deranged Millionaire for a series of videos for They Might Be
They're
Giants.
They're very funny.
Years ago when I thought I'd never been
on television. I haven't seen that They Might Be Giants. This was like, I thought on Funny or Die or somewhere.
Oh, yeah, you know, that was later. Oh, thank you very much.
Well, you got, there's everybody in the world is waiting for you.
I have a hypnotic power.
And I'll play that a little bit later. So
fun.
You did something for John and John.
Years ago. 2000, back in the old tech TV days, I dare say.
Yeah.
And before I ever thought that I would ever be on television, I was just a former professional literary agent and writer.
What happened there?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I started to work with John and John, They Might Be Giants. I was doing a little
Hold on just a moment. Oh, we're going to have somebody adjust you. We have a special chiropractic unit that's going to come out.
My third and fourth arm come in.
There we go. How about that?
So I had been a publishing professional, and then I became a magazine writer.
Ah.
And then I started writing humor for McSweeney's, located here in the Bay Area.
Sure, absolutely.
And
there's the Dave Eggers connection.
Indeed. Yeah. He is a friend and indeed a longtime supporter to whom I'm very grateful. And I'd started writing stuff for McSweeney's and started performing stuff in sort of literary comedy events in New York City.
Is that very popular in New York City?
Yeah, well, you know, we're all very wry.
Big crowds come out for the wry.
Oh,
humor.
Yeah, the arched eyebrow set always comes out for the small chuckles of literary comedy.
Mildly music.
The famous pipe and sweater comedy of John Hodgman. And that's how I met They Might Be Giants, actually, because they were doing work with Dave Eggers, and I did this deranged millionaire character for them.
I didn't realize it was that old.
Yeah, no, and it was at a time when I couldn't imagine ever being
That was your first character.
Yeah, it was before I could ever imagine being a deranged hundredaire, never mind a deranged millionaire. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And around that time, I started thinking about these books of trivia. Someone had asked me to write a book of trivia, real trivia, and I love trivia, and I love those old books, The Book of Lists, Big Secrets, William Poundstone's Big Secrets, The People's Almanac, all these.
Too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
love
books,
that stuff.
Books that you.
Factoid stuff.
Factoid stuff. Uncle John's Bathroom Reader.
Love that.
Stuff that was.
That was the inspiration for my first book, which
what?
Was a,
oh, yeah.
a technology almanac,
oh,
and
yeah.
I wanted to make it a reader, a bathroom reader.
Exactly. Just
little factoids.
And you know, how much did we pick up in our knowledge?
Useful
from
for
that,
cocktail parties as a pipe and sweater
exactly.
set.
Exactly. The nine European leaders who died while having sex or whatever.
You
just,
exactly.
You know, it's stuff that just gets lodged into our brains like shrapnel as we read it as kids in the bathroom or, you know, over the summer or whatever. And so I thought it would be great to do a book like that, but those books exist. So what new can I bring to amazing true facts? Fiction.
Amazing false facts.
Amazing false facts. So instead of nine... world leaders who died while having sex, it would be nine U.S. presidents who secretly had hooks for hands. And how you wouldn't, you know.
You would never know.
And you would never know because, you know, no one knew that FDR had a hook for a hand because.
The press covered it up.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just considered, we don't want to.
They only photographed him from the wrist up.
Exactly.
And also his hook was in the shape of a wheelchair.
There is a statue, I believe, somewhere in the Midwest with the hook. That you,
yeah,
you
right. So
that.
You know, so that's exactly
absolutely.
the pleasure of teasing out something that seems almost plausible but is absolutely ridiculous. And so I wrote this book. So I said to the editor who had asked me, would you write a book of actual trivia? Well, what if I did something like this?
Much, and he said, much better.
Yeah, and he said, no, thank you. And
really?
Yeah, he's my editor now, actually.
He didn't get the vision that you had?
No, I think he understood it, but I think he felt that a book of actual trivia would sell more copies.
Boy, was he wrong.
Yeah, well.
Or maybe not. I don't know.
Book publishing is a business that has the delusion that it is a business.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And but, yeah, that's a delusion.
So, so I took a year to sort of think it through and come up with a real proposal and sort of to prove the concept to myself.
Did you propose three books initially?
Well, I always wanted to do three because all good books come in trilogies,
right.
obviously.
Right.
But I was just happy to do the first book.
The Bible.
Yeah, for example.
For
Bible
example.
1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
Oh, and then there's the Bible Silmarillion, which is the sort of the
yeah. We don't
stuff.
Talk about that one. Yeah, that's the one where it's a lot of poetry. We don't.
Yeah, I think that's called the Book of Mormon. getting topical.
Ooh,
getting topical here. Oh, hello.
The dog emerges. You come say here. The word Mormon, he responds immediately.
What is his? I'm sorry. Say his name again.
Ozzy.
Ozzy, come here. Come here, Ozzy. I'm telling you, this look would be so much better if you were sitting on my lap and I was just stroking like Blofeld.
He oh, is. Well. That's exactly what he is. And he's bored now.
No,
so.
I think he's appropriately skeptical. Oh, you heard me.
Look at the ears. Yeah, that's him.
That's all right.
I know, he's not wearing shoes.
My reputation
but
precedes
okay.
me. I understand.
He's very suspicious. So how did you convince them that this is a good idea, especially three books?
Well, I wrote some portions of it, including a piece about the famous surgeon's photo of the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
You know, that famous photo of the Loch Ness Monster sort of looking around like
right.
a periscope.
Right. That's real.
It was revealed to be a hoax.
But it really happened.
It is a real photograph.
It's a real photograph, but it's not really
a non-monster.
Right. It's
yeah.
not really the Loch Ness
exactly.
Monster.
Exactly. No. It was revealed to be a hoax, of
right.
course. I
right.
mean, for years they were wondering how was it done.
Right.
Finally, it was revealed to be a hoax. The truth of it is that there's no way that could be the Loch Ness Monster. Because the Loch Ness Monster took the photograph.
Aha! See, that's a twist.
That was a twist.
Nobody knew.
No one knew. And so until they read my book.
And then they knew.
So I proposed the book to a number of different publishers. The editor who had initially said no thank you did indeed end up offering on it. And has become my editor since, and he's a good friend, Jeff Klosky of Riverhead.
It's difficult to tell when you go in and make a proposal and they laugh, whether they're laughing with you or at you. And
yes.
And it turned out they were laughing at you.
They were laughing at me, and then they were laughing
with me.
And then when I went on The Daily Show to promote that first
they
book...
They loved it.
I was laughing at them.
Yes.
Ha, ha, ha. So that's when I started to go crazy.
That's when you became, in fact, the character you'd been playing, the deranged millionaire...
Over time, because what happened then was, I went on The Daily Show to promote
yeah.
the first book, and then they asked me back
yeah.
to do comedy on The Daily
Show.
So
this was before you were a regular on The Daily Show.
This is how I became.
Was promoting the book.
Show. I was a
what
fan
was it
of that, The Daily Show.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's like a dream
course,
come true.
Yeah, of course.
And, wow. You know, Jon Stewart says, hey, you're pretty funny. Would you like to come back?
We had a good time talking, and I think, you know, I had a lot of fake trivia about the hobos of the Great Depression.
Yes,
which,
all the hobo names.
It tickles Jon Stewart's fancy very much, I gather. So
he's a fan.
He's a hobo fan.
Yeah.
And so they asked me to come back and do comedy on the show, which I thought there was a polite thing for them to do. So I said, of course. But I think they really, I think they meant it because I've been doing it now for
That's fantastic.
6 years. And then very quickly after that, I was asked to audition for this series of advertisements for a major computer corporation.
In which
I played the personal computer.
Shall remain nameless
Apple,
or shall
Apple,
not? Oh,
Apple
you can mention it.
Okay. Yeah. I still love them. They changed my life. They gave me the greatest job I've ever had.
You still love them.
Well, of course I love them.
You still love them?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was no breach, no.
No.
But you played the PC. You didn't play the Mac.
Yeah, but that's.
So I thought, when I saw you using an iPhone, I thought, that's really not right. He should be using a Windows
phone.
You know
how advertising works? Do you understand that it's kind of made up?
No, it's not. There's a law that it has to be true.
I used to, when I heard about the ads, I was immediately intrigued. First of all, because why were they interested in me? Second of all, because when I was in my 20s, my friends and I, including Colton, would go to bars
yeah.
We're of legal drinking age, everybody.
Of course.
We go to bars and get drunk yelling at each other about Mac versus PC.
Really?
This was a common argument.
And on which side of that argument were you?
I was always on the Mac side.
And
I
had Jonathan Mac... was the PC guy?
Our friend Devin Emke was the PC guy. Yeah. And Jonathan just sort of stayed above it all and sang a little weird folk songs about zombies in the background or whatever. But it was, you know, he was always trying the peacemaker because he's definitely bi-platform. Do you know what I mean?
We've all known for a while. It's pretty...
Right? Oh, I'm not breaking any news here, everybody?
So. It's pretty obvious. Yeah.
Good. So, but this was I was always of the
Mac persuasion.
Of the Mac persuasion. I would take a lot of heat for it because Devin would say that was for dum-dums. And I was like, I don't have time.
It's fine. I'm a dum-dum.
Yeah, and this is still... I was still working in publishing and we were still using DOS at that time.
Right.
And I'm like, really, you're going to make this argument?
Yeah.
This is what I want to be doing?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, everything's sort of...
Did you audition for that?
Of course. Yeah.
So they had other people in corduroy suits?
They had not only other people, but every people.
It was a big, was a cattle call?
I didn't realize until afterward. Because, you know, I weaseled my way into things. Look at how I'm here. I go from watching tech TV.
We were told
to
that
now being here at the center, the nerve center of this.
You are in the nerve center of this right now.
But, you know, I went into the audition primarily because I was curious, why did they call me? But it was simply that I met everybody that I knew in the performing world in New York in the
Everybody
audition.
Was up for that.
And so I thought it was
Had
a
they
fun,
already selected
I thought
just,
it was a fun adventure to audition
yeah,
for this job
not?
That I would never get.
Yeah. Much better the way to approach it, I think.
So it was a sheer fluke. It was
was Justin Long already cast?
I by the time I was offered the job, yes.
Okay. But you weren't reading against him. It was
No, other people. And I don't know. All I know is that Phil Morrison, the director of those ads, who directed a movie called Junebug and has a new movie
Love
coming out with
movie.
Paul Rudd and Paul Giamatti.
Love Junebug.
He's an amazing guy and a really dear friend. And he had seen me on The Daily Show and put my name into a very large hat. And I was very lucky to get the job.
Did they tell you what they were looking for?
No, but I had an instinctive sense because, you know, I had used PCs and I understood why people liked them. I also understood the cultural sort of friction between Mac users and PC users, and I knew that the PC would, as a computer and an embodiment of that ethos, would sort of look down his nose at Mac, even while he couldn't. You know, the trick of those ads was the PC was always there to help the Mac. The PC wasn't there to be an antagonist, necessarily. He always thought he was doing the Mac a favor.
Yeah.
By showing him how it was really done.
Yeah. And that was actually the beauty of it, because it was antagonistic without actually being antagonistic, right? It was It was gentle humor.
It was the comedy in a very Colbertian way, sort of a high status idiot.
Yeah.
Thinking he's helping this poor dumb, hipster.
Here's some examples.
And coming up short every time.
I'm a PC.
I'm afraid to ask.
Well, I was sitting on my desk.
Yeah.
Someone walked by, carelessly tripped over my power cord, yanked me straight down to the ground. Bam!
Yikes! MacBooks come with this power cord that connects magnetically, so when it gets pulled, it just pops right off. Everything's just kind of thawed out, you know, like the tiny built-in EyeSight camera.
My life is flashing before my eyes. I see a sunset in a field of beautiful wheat.
Isn't that your screensaver?
Yeah.
These are great.
I think the sunset in a field of beautiful wheat may have been a Justin Long line.
Really? So there was some ad-libbing going on?
We would have tons of fun sort of playing with the scripts. And we usually would sort of go very far beyond them and then come back. Because
right.
they were very well written to begin with.
Sure.
And we usually come back to some version of it. But I feel like Justin is a really funny guy. And I think that, you know, it might be lost on people who saw those ads. But if you see any of his movies or you ever see him in interviews, he's really funny.
Yeah, and he's a very personable.
And a very good friend. But did he come here?
No.
So let's stop talking about him. Why are we talking
Is
about
this
that
your corduroy suit?
Which one?
Oh, I was looking at this photo book. I made an iPhone.
Want to see it? That's cool.
Oh, sure.
No,
why not?
That's enough.
That's wardrobe.
Go on, rip it in half.
Well, that's my red.
Beautiful.
That I did.
Care about arts and crafts. You like work. Would it hurt you to loosen your necktie every once in a while and have a little fun?
Oh,
fun! We tried that once. It was nothing but pain and frustration.
So, what do you think?
It's good.
There's one. I don't know if it's on this reel. This is a reel of a bunch of them where you crawl into a hole, or crawl out of a hole.
Yeah, that may have been on my private video.
Let's see if I can find that one. This is a compilation. People love this so much, there are on YouTube compilations of these. There's even, this is one of my favorites. This is one of my favorites.
Wow.
Yeah, I can even talk to animals. Hey, happy holidays, little bunny. Where are you headed?
I'm going to the Apple Store for some last-minute gifts.
Oops. Oh, I'm sorry. How did that happen? Clumsy me.
Must have been fun to be that. Get a chance to be
that. A little trivia. The voice of the rabbit was Morgan Freeman.
You know, he's so distinctive.
I know.
You almost can't miss it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People love his voice.
John Hodgman is our guest.
I can smell my own feet. I'm very sorry to have put this so much.
No, no. I think it's in the book. I know I read it. That you can actually, it's a physical fact. You cannot smell your own feet.
The reason that what happened was that once the ads changed my life dramatically and then the books and everything else, and suddenly I became this famous minor television personality completely unexpectedly. And then, you know, suddenly I became this sort of financially independent, deranged millionaire that I never thought I would be.
Isn't that wonderful? I'm so happy for
you. The secret to dressing like a deranged millionaire is you take off your shoes, for example. You dress for your own comfort. You don't.
No, no,
you don't care about what other people do.
You shouldn't ever.
It's not even so important that you be comfortable as it is you make other people uncomfortable.
And also, I think, speak. Now the dog is interested.
Yes, my dog.
He says,
thank you.
I smell ham. I know there's ham in here somewhere.
Go on.
So these are the original from They Might Be Giants. That apparently are now in front of
a very young version of me.
Funny or Die, I think. Let's see here. We'll probably get a cease and desist from Funny or Die. Or maybe not. If it never plays, we'll be fine.
No. I can describe it for you.
would you walk us through it?
Well, lately, I think that the Funny or Die thing that you want to show is the trailer.
That's the one
that
I love. That was for the book.
And Tom Sharpling directed that, and that was a similar situation to the audiobook, where Tom had this idea that there were so many book trailers and comedy videos on that used cameo appearances. Tom Sharpling, who's the host of the best show on WFMU, one of the greatest and most important comedy things in existence of all time. Look it up. But Tom was like, well, why don't we do some celebrity cameos, but we'll just call in every favor we have and just burn through every cameo all at once.
When I saw them, and, well, let's just show you the video, because it's...
And so I turned to my wife, Suzanne Plachette, and said, that is all. There. Finished. Computer, send this to the computer and print it out.
Acknowledged. Shall I get Jonathan Colton on the phone?
That's the voice of Jonathan.
No, I'm not entirely helpless.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the actual
whatever
voice
you say,
of
Master.
Yes, I'm calling for internet superstar and feral mountain man, Jonathan Colton, please. Ah, Jonathan. It's your friend, John Hodgman, a deranged millionaire. Listen, Jonathan, I just finished my final book of Complete World Knowledge, and it's coming out November 1st. Yes, that's right. That's just about a year before the end of the world. That's right, Ragnarok. I'm really excited about it. Listen, Jonathan, the publisher's being really annoying about this. They don't want me to print just one copy. Right. They want me to print many copies, really take it to the people. Well, the thing is, to do that, I'm going to have to leave my house. So, oh, thank you, Jonathan. Yes. Where do you want to meet? The foyer? The map room? The movie loft? The polo room? The bocce courts? Where? The ferret skeleton room? Jonathan, you know that place creeps me out. Okay, fine. You know what? I'll just meet you there. See you in a minute.
And we've lost the... There we go.
With you?
In your electric dreams, robot. Start the theme music. I'm on my way.
He had a name. He had an unlikely name.
Yeah, the deranged millionaire. The deranged millionaire.
House. There you go.
How did that happen?
I think it's Funny or Die finally pulled the
finally
phone.
Finally died.
Yeah, finally expired.
Well, it actually happened. I didn't think...
Yeah, we had a short-term hosting situation.
I didn't think that would happen. Is that house? Is that your house?
No, it's not my house. That's a mansion that is for rent.
It's an actual mansion.
On the upper west side of Manhattan.
I get it. We've got it back. There we go. So not movie magic. Location, burning money all day. I love this. The library.
And that is New York Public Library. Yeah.
Miles away.
Well, in there at 7 o'clock in the morning or something.
Well, that's nice. Because normally you can't go in there barefoot till after hours.
No, exactly so. And here's Justin being very game.
I love it. I love it.
Justin?
Mm-hmm.
It is Justin, right? Sorry, I didn't recognize you with my new mustache.
Haji! Oh, my God, it's so good to see you.
Have you been here the whole time?
Yes.
Oh. Wait a minute. I feel terrible.
That's okay. Well, we're back. We're back in business. Let's do this.
Oh, boy.
Hello? Hello?
No, you're Justin Long, and it's time to go. Come on.
No.
Yeah.
Hattie said I'm a mag.
Let me get you out of here.
Would you?
Okay.
Did you?
I know a place we can go.
I've never heard from them about it.
I think it's all right. They don't own the white void.
No, they don't. That's called a white site, by the way.
White site.
Let's sit you down.
But here we are in the celebrity camp.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you've got to see these celebrities.
John Lutz, Jason Jones, Nas, Dick Cabot.
No.
Everybody, this is Justin Long.
Adventure Brothers.
Hi, Justin.
So, all my famous friends, thanks for hanging there. I know you've been down here for a while. Unfortunately, I don't have any celebrity cameo work for you today.
I
just finished my new book, and I got to take it to the people.
Vernon Reed of Living Color.
But hang in there. Have some chips. I'll check in on you in a couple of days. Okay. Thanks, guys.
You got this.
Recognize this, John?
Most the most amazing group of celebrities, and they just sat there.
Yeah, we wasted their time.
It's mind blowing.
It was fantastic.
It's fantastic. That's
well, we had some Utz chips for them. I'm waiting for my free cheese balls.
It goes through the Daily Show set.
Gold is diamond encrusted, and diamonds are covered in gold.
That's the main reading room again, the library. The idea is that I'm walking,
trying to
find my way to the ferret skeleton room.
There it is.
Yeah. Jonathan. That's our Buckaroo Banzai homage, that little hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then then we go out to Times Square. Barefoot in Times Square, most liberating feeling in the world.
You and the naked cowboy.
Filmed without a single permit.
Specifically, the end of my trilogy of complete world knowledge.
Beautiful New York City.
Prepare yourself.
I should have gotten some money from New Girl for this one.
That is all is coming November 1st.
You can't get away from New Girl. It's everywhere.
Oh, I know, right?
That is all is coming.
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
Send it out. Let them know. My name is John Hodgman. I finished my book. You're next.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Love it.
And yelling, screaming out loud in the middle of Times Square, barefoot, without a permit, most exciting adrenaline.
There's police everywhere.
Yeah. I was convinced that we were going to be...
I'm surprised. Did you get at any point?
Apparently, you can film whatever you want in Times Square so long as you don't put a camera down on the ground.
Right.
Which sounds like fake trivia, but I believe that it's true.
I think it's true. And it's a small camera, probably, so it doesn't.
Yeah.
You could be a tourist. You're not necessarily doing a movie.
I'm just a tourist with a sound guy and a camera operator and a director.
Yeah. Well, some people do that.
And then there was a moment we were sitting in one of Michael Bloomberg's
the mayor.
The mayor of New York City's. You know, he's taken over huge, like three or four lanes of every street to make them pedestrian cafes, basically.
When did that happen?
Oh, in the past 5 years or so.
Oh, I've got to go back to New York.
Bike lanes everywhere, and much of Times Square, which used to be actual traffic lanes, is now a pedestrian area where you sit down at a little rickety table and have a coffee.
Just like Paris.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's
plus New Girl.
Yeah, well, and you get your, you know, cabs run over your feet, and it's very unnerving to sit there. And we were sitting there. And a police cruiser stopped right in front of us, and two police officers got out and started walking right for us. And I'm like, this is it. We're being shut down. And then it was like a cartoon. They immediately diverted about 2 seconds before us and then went over and got some coffee.
They like doing that to the tourists.
Yeah, yeah.
They just head straight for them and
totally,
then veer off.
Yeah.
It's like sharks.
But I really recommend that you go out there barefoot in Times Square. I mean, no, wait a minute. I don't want you to assume.
Have you washed your feet since?
No, but you know, it's fine. There's nothing. There's not a lot out there. You take a little care.
It's clean.
Yeah.
Next, you'll be swimming in the river.
But it's, you know, that was to be able to, you know, have this weird career that went from, you know, I used to write about popular culture. I obviously love popular culture, and to create something and have it resonate.
That's fantastic.
And the world is an amazing feeling. And then to meet people that you admire so much, you know, and to bring them into a room and then keep them prisoner there for a while is really fantastic.
So what was the connection? How did you know them? Did you?
They're all people that I met through living in New York City over time.
That's what I always thought, is that everybody in New York City kind of knows each other.
Yes, that's exactly right. And we talk about you primarily. It's a big secret society where we just talk trash about California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the Daily Show opened quite a few doors for me.
Absolutely.
To meet the people that I admire in the world, which is exciting.
And you're
and the ads did as well. I mean, one of the most surreal experiences of my life, you know, I was going to a party and seeing Chuck D from Public Enemy. And I grew up, you know, in the 80s and early 90s, and that was when I was really tuned into the vibrant rap scene at that time. Right. Not that it's unvibrant now, but that was my period. And, like, Public Enemy made me think about a lot of things very differently, and I think he's kind of a genius. And I kind of went up to him, like, I just wanted to say, I'm just a big fan. He's like, I know who you are. And I was like, the PC. And I'm like, oh, this is very exciting, but also weird.
You don't mind people saying, I mean, because that's...
Not at all. It was...
You're PC.
Yeah, I'm so happy that it happened. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's allowed me to, first of all, and most importantly, to work with Justin and with Phil. And, you know, we did it for 4 years, and it was an amazing, amazing and exciting job. I mean, it obviously transformed my life and my career in almost entirely positive ways. I can't think otherwise. I have several bathrooms now that are tiled with old iPhones. and I get to meet you, and I get to do what I love to do, which is, you know, weird books of fake trivia and showing up on sort of fake television talk shows.
This is it.
Yeah.
How many ads did you end up doing total?
I think that the ones that made air were coming up on 70, 60.
And there's some that never,
70.
Never
yeah.
made it.
Oh, yeah, we would shoot.
Did you ever meet Jobs? Did he ever come to the shoots?
He never came to the shoots, and I was it was a very sad. So I was at the Daily Show. It was probably in 2007 because the iPhone was about to come out, and I was working on a sketch, you know, desk chat as we call them and I was in John's office. And as we broke to go work on the script some more, John said, "You know, Steve Jobs is coming here on Monday." Mm. And I said, "Is he going to be a guest on the show?" He said, "No, he's just coming. He's a fan of the show. He's going to be in New York. He wants to. He is the prototype for the iPhone. He wants to sort of show it and everything."
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, wow, that's amazing. He said, well, you should come, you know, because as a contributor to the show, I'm not there all the time. I only come in to work on the pieces that I perform. So he said, you should come in that day. And I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, like, that was still a very new job for me. I really wanted to keep it. I didn't think that the secret to keeping that job was
throwing curveballs to Steve Jobs.
No, not a good idea.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just like Steve and John are in the office, and just all of a sudden I come around the corner going, hello, it's me. So I said, well, you know what? I'll think about it. He's like, you know, you have a right to be here. You work here. You should come in. I said, I'll think about it over the weekend and I'll decide. And over the weekend I thought about it, and I just decided, you know what? If Steve Jobs wants to meet me, I made two terrible assessments. One, if Steve Jobs wants to meet me, he knows where to find me. That's probably true. And then the terrible assessment
Park
was...
Slope. Everybody knows.
Yeah, well, of course. And the terrible assessment, though, was that I would have all the time in the world to meet Steve Jobs.
Mm, not so.
And I made the decision, and I felt good about the decision, and I was saying, I had dinner with some friends that Monday night after Steve had been in the office, and I had not gone in. And I was explaining those two assessments, and you know, it would have been a thrill to be sitting there in a room with John Stewart and Steve Jobs going, I certainly saw this coming in my life. But I felt like, you know what, this is better, this is cool.
You're cool.
And then as I was explaining it, I realized, oh, I never really did tell John Stewart that I wasn't coming in. And I'm like, well, he probably forgot all about it anyway. So I call the next day to Jen Flans.
Oh, no.
one of the executive producers, and I'm like, "Hey, Jen, it's me." She's like, "Where were you?"
Oh no!
And apparently,
they were waiting for you.
Apparently, they paged the building for some time.
Like, oh no!
Yeah, I was like, Bueller,
PC,
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 and finally, John had to go. Oh, I guess he's doing something else today. So I was too cool for Steve Jobs that day.
Well, there's something to be said for that.
But we had email exchanges with him that were very pleasant. When I got the iPhone, I remember sitting there. It was like 11 o'clock at night on iPhone Day 2007, and just looking at this thing. And it's hard to remember just how
huge.
Brain-breaking it was.
Yeah, it was huge.
Do you know what I mean?
Just absolutely. What a
huge leap. And this is not Apple fanboyism. I think anyone who appreciates technology saw that and saw a future of a thing.
If you went from a BlackBerry to that, you'd say,
this
revelation.
Is a huge, big leap in terms of, you know, and this is why we are all becoming cyborgs now, because all of our memory and our geographical skills and everything else is now downloaded to a device, whether it's from Apple or otherwise. And I remember sitting there going, you know, I'm a very lucky person, and this is a really amazing adventure that I've been on so far. And, you know, I ought to write Steve a note. And I had his email address from a previous exchange that we had had. And I wrote him, and I just said, "Hey, I just want to say I got this iPhone. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it." And I'm like, "Well, time to go to bed." Bing! Immediate reply that said, "I'm so glad you like it." From Steve. Or from his address.
No, it's from Steve.
Well, right. Well, that was the thing. It's like, "So glad you like it. What is your favorite ringtone?" And I was like, "Oh, well, this cannot be from Steve Jobs. This is the day the iPhone came out.
He's got other things to do.
How many things do you have to do? How many emails is he getting today?
Right.
So either this is a robo response or an assistant,
right.
But maybe it's him. And I have to operate on the assumption that it's him because I already pissed him off once. So I wrote again. I know you have like 30 other shows to record today, but this is gonna
go on and on.
No, I know you have 17 shows an hour here, so
I do.
And you host them all, and I appreciate that. Yeah. So I'm like, well, I gotta come up with something good. So I get out of bed and I go to one of my 17 desktop computers that I had at that time, and I write, and I was like, okay, my favorite ringtone is crickets, because you know that one on it sounds like crickets. I'm like, I think it's great. The only problem is it's a little confusing. I think I have to change it because it's a little confusing because I usually carry a bunch of live crickets on my person at all times.
Right.
So I may have to change it.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks again. Send. I'm getting up to go back to bed. All of a sudden, ding. I'm like, now what, Steve Jobs?
He's so annoying.
And then I go back and he says, well, mine is ascending.
Uh-huh.
Which is the one that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I'm like, that is the worst of those ringtones.
Well, he clearly has no taste.
That's terrible.
Clearly.
But I couldn't write that, so finally I had to say, well, thanks again, Steve.
Nice talking to you.
I'm going to go to bed now. Yeah, exactly so. But it was so, and again, it was one of those moments where I was like, that's really funny, and, you know, someday when I meet him, we'll laugh about this, but of course it didn't, and I now my ringtone is ascending because
in honor of Steve.
Yeah.
And the, now that the crickets have matured.
Yeah, no, I no longer carry crickets around anymore because of the mess.
Cricket poop. JohnHodgman.com. He is our guest today, and his book, That Is All. And there is an occasion for this because yesterday, not only did the paperback version come out, but Audible released the audio version.
Yes.
Which you narrate. Must be fun, though, because these are not just like you reading the book.
Oh, yeah.
These are productions.
Sitting in a booth for hours on end.
Nothing like it.
Speaking into a tin can. At least they told me that's how it is.
Talking
done.
To that.
Yeah.
It still says beans.
No, it was amazing.
Stephen
because,
Fry is on this?
Yes. And Stephen Fry.
He probably did it in London, though.
He did it in London and beamed it in.
Yeah.
Here is a situation where, and that's one that's a connection that was made precisely because of my experience with Apple. Because
he's a Mac fan.
And so I had visited with him over there in England and had done a very silent guest spot on QI, my favorite quiz show.
That's a great show, which we cannot get in the States.
No, because we're too dumb.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, no, that's why. Yeah. We're too dumb.
We wouldn't get it.
We couldn't possibly like something like that.
It's not wry enough.
Right, exactly. So, so it was great to be able to, you know, pull out all the stops and call all the people that I was huge fans of.
It's an amazing list. So do they each do a little bit, or?
Well, like, so Jonathan and I will sit in the room and we'll just sort of, I'll narrate the book to him, basically, and he'll provide reaction. Whereas John Hamm and Stephen Fry and Brooke Shields and Sarah Vowell did a sketch that I had written in which they're all members of a reality show that I'm pitching, a reality show about competitive hoarders that I'm pitching, and they play the celebrity contestants. I think Brooke Shields plays Gary Busey, if I remember correctly. Rachel Maddow comes by and we drink alcohol together because she's a cocktail person.
Apparently.
Dick Cavett came by for a little radio magic, a little non-visual radio magic. Radio magic is a lost art form, by the way. There were, used to be tons of amazing radio magicians.
Like now what is the card?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, because
you won't believe what I have up my sleeve.
Exactly. It's all of that except for this. Magic theater of the mind.
No, there really wasn't radio.
Of course
magicians.
There was. But the trick was you needed to have a really good assistant, what was called a shouter. This was the person who would react to the magic.
Oh, my God!
Exactly. Why, it's magic! The devil, you say! How is that possible?
No! He did it!
He picked my card, everyone who can't see this. And now he's produced a dove. Out of a croissant, or whatever. So that was the most important
part. We ought to try that.
And then the other part was, of course, most of the magic was all Foley work. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So the sound of shuffling cards was people breaking up sticks of celery.
So much easier than actually... Yeah. Shuffling cards.
Yeah. You know the most esoteric joke I've ever made?
No, I'd like to hear it, though.
The most famous radio magic trick of all time that was using Foley, obviously, to Foley sound effects in order to create the illusion. The most famous radio magic trick of all time. Hulk running. Very esoteric. Look it up. Hulk running.
Hulk running.
Hulk running.
Will it be on the internet if
you
look for it?
I think you saved the picture.
Hulk running.
Don't worry.
It's way
internet.
Over my head.
They'll get it.
It's probably like a QI. I just.
It's a reference to a film. It's a reference to a movie that I don't even think is available on video right now.
John's book is available on audible.com. In fact, this would be a good time to take advantage of our Audible offer. I'm going to sneak a commercial in. This is going to be so painless. Oh, shoot. Now, but see, they've given it away by putting in the lower third graphic announcing that we are, in fact, offering a free audiobook.
I'm sure there are some of your viewers and listeners who can't read.
They don't
so
know.
Why don't you explain to them?
Yeah, well, they're listening at home.
Oh, right.
And they don't know. Oh, he put the lower third in.
Again, radio magic. There you
magic.
Go.
Magic. Audiblepodcast.com.
Modern romance. Good one. Good sound. Got it. Modern romance.
Modern romance. Good sound. Got
That's
it.
That's the Hulk running.
Look right, up now
Hulk
I have to watch
running
the
on
movie
YouTube. It's
modern...
one of the funniest scenes in movie dumb.
From Modern Romance?
Well, I like this look of having my regular glasses over my shooting glasses. I feel like Swifty Lazar.
You do. If you put one on top, you could be the guy from NFL Films. It'd be perfect.
And then maybe I can add these on, too. There we go. All right. Ricky Jay will come over to my brownstone and educate you. I've met Ricky Jay.
Have you?
Yeah, that was very exciting.
You
He's
have
a fan. Everyone,
very
you know,
exciting
loves,
life.
Everyone loves The Daily Show, and I, you know, I just, as a remora that feeds on the belly fat of all of these great cultural enterprises, The Daily Show... television advertising, the remake of Arthur, whatever this is, you know, I get to experience.
You're in the remake of Arthur?
I get to experience, you didn't know that?
No, tell me about that.
We fixed it.
Let me play
Hulk. We fixed that movie Arthur, and we made it right.
Made it right, because it was that Dudley Moore. So here
no,
is...
it was fun. It was
here's
fun.
Hulk running.
Albert Brooks is a movie editor, and
I love Albert Brooks.
And he's trying to do the Foley of a science fiction movie he's doing, starring George Kennedy.
Well, I want to get some kind of pounding, some kind of noise when he's coming through that corridor, like he's running hard and heavy. Pounding, I guess, is what I want. Pounding. Do you have any stock stuff that's good?
Why don't you try to put in the Hulk?
We should hear that. That could work.
Let's try the Hulk.
The Hulk's too slow. Well, we have Hulk running, don't we?
Hulk running. Let's try that.
Even running is too slow.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's try it. Maybe we'll get lucky, okay?
Put up the Incredible Hulk on effects number 3.
Here it comes.
You want Buzz Standard Hulk?
No, Hulk Running.
Standard Hulk?
Take a
no,
few minutes.
Hulk, Hulk running. Running.
I don't now think wait. He's going to find it.
Oh, I bet he does. He always seems to eventually.
We got a break now? Okay, I'm going to go to my car, right? I'll be back in a minute.
Want a cup of coffee?
Well, all right, I've got a mistake. I got man. I'm calling a doctor.
Okay, you want to hear these hoax now?
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
All right, here it comes, Hulk running.
Let's hear what this sounds like.
All right.
I think it's a waste of time.
Good. We'll see it.
Okay, let's go.
Projector. What is that?
I told you, it's too slow.
Too slow? The guy's screaming.
You didn't say that. It said Hulk running.
Well, why didn't Hulk screaming? That's the effect.
The so, thing is, this okay. is probably very much what
we're
it's
have
like.
To do this ourselves,
yeah.
all right?
Making all right. movies.
I suspect so.
It's probably actually just...
I don't know. I wasn't in the Foley room for Arthur the Remake.
For Arthur the Remake.
Hulk running.
That is all Albert is the Brooks. Name of the book. Go to Audible. Here's the deal. Get it free. You still get, like, a cut if they get it for free, right?
What's that? Yeah, sure. I get a cut of nothing. Thank you.
20% of zero. That is all is the name of the book. So here's the deal. You go to audiblepodcast.com/triangulation. You're going to sign up for the gold plan. This is all a sneaky way of doing this. You're going to sign up for the gold plan. But if you go to that website and you sign up, the first month's free. The first credit's free. The first book's free. You can cancel it anytime. Pay nothing. But you get to keep the audio of That Is All by John Hodgman. If you are not an Audible member yet, this is a great opportunity to basically take John for everything he's worth. Audiblepodcast.com/triangulation. Otherwise, it's $24.47. The 47's yours,
the
I 40, think.
I get,
you get the 47.
I get 20% of the 47 cents.
No, I have the other two books on my Audible, and it's just fantastic. In fact, you should get all three. Areas of My Expertise.
Sure.
What is it? All look, Everything You 20, Need to...
Look, I encourage everyone to do whatever it takes to keep the lights on here. Go over to Audible, sign up.
It will make us a little
get
money.
The Executive Gold Double Five Diamond Plan or
exactly.
whatever it is.
Exactly.
Get the free download. I'll be thrilled if anyone listens to it. But I'm going to also say, 24/47 cameras, you hearing this?
Yeah.
This thing is 17 hours long.
It's less than a well. It's a little more than a buck an hour.
I'm giving you 17 hours. Worth of entertainment.
Is it really that long?
It's yeah. Well, it's,
you added quite a bit because this isn't that long a book.
It's about 11 hour. It's about 11. Well, you read it out loud and see how it goes. Well, I guess.
No, but it's only. Wait a minute. It's 964 pages. So these must be very thin.
Oh no, that's not entirely accurate. You see the. It's the last page is page 964, but the first page is
609.
Yeah, because it picks up the page numbering for the other two books.
So you've in total written 964 pages.
Well, now that the paperback is out, it's over 1,000. So I beat fantastic. The Lord of the Rings. That's all I care about.
That's fantastic.
But you know, this I'm very, Jonathan sings on this thing. John Roderick of The Long Winters sings on the audiobook.
Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt does. The most hilarious Marlon Brando that I've ever heard, and the most hilarious Nick Nolte that I've ever heard. John Darnielle of Mountain Goats wrote an original hour-long composition.
You've got John Flansburgh on here.
Flansburgh's on it. Well, the Deranged Millionaire song is a They Might Be Giants song.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. He wrote that based on the character that I did in those early videos, and then I came back and I said, can I use that as the theme song for this book? So
Audible, audiblepodcast.com/triangulation. I'm sure they're thrilled because here we have the author himself, and it's a chance to get you onto Audible, and I think you're going to love it. And get the book. Get the book. We're just joking around. Will there be a fourth
Well, you know
book?
How I loathe advertising.
But I
in
know.
This case, I'll support
yeah.
you and I'll support...
Advertising is so horrible.
You know, I just want to help out John Hamm. That's the main thing.
He needs the money, poor
Did
guy.
Did you see the photograph that I sent of me and John Hamm together?
No. You mailed that to me?
It was from behind the scenes. I emailed it to Karsten.
Oh, do we have...
You put it up on a website or whatever.
Do we have that picture of John Hamm and John Hodgman together? Your
we
podcast,
do.
Judge John Hodgman. I forgot
yeah.
about that.
Oh.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, see? That was backstage. Everyone says we look so much alike.
Well, I was going to say, it's hard to tell who's who.
Yeah.
If it weren't for the facial hair, I might
John,
not know.
John Hamm is the one wearing the hat, and I'm the one cringing over like Gollum.
Were you actually doing a Gollum?
Yeah. That's how I feel around John Hamm.
Yeah, so do we all.
He is this. Have you met him?
No.
He's the sweetest guy in the world.
Is he?
Very, very funny guy.
Oh, interesting.
Has a real love.
I'm a huge fan.
And knack for comedy. An amazing actor.
Really?
He's 14 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Totally handsome dude. And
no,
a jock.
That's not right.
Whereas I am a nerd. And,
well,
and he's one of those people when it's in the room and you just instinctively, in an evolutionary way, want to please him.
You, like, you know,
everything okay, John?
Alpha dog.
Can I get you anything?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I adore him so much. Yeah. I don't know what he sees in me, honestly.
He obviously loves you.
Well, I don't know.
That's pretty good.
I have a lot of incriminating information.
Are you doing any more of the Judge John Hodgman shows?
Yeah, I do it every week.
Oh, okay.
Well, boy, just because I don't have my own weird headquarters in Petaluma,
you need
I can't
a headquarters.
So it doesn't count as a podcast. Sorry, Netcast.
Netcast.
So sorry.
Please.
Oh, so sorry.
We don't use that. So Judge John Hodgman, the idea is that somebody submits to you a conundrum.
Yeah.
And you cut the Gordian knot and solve.
It's like the People's Court.
It's the People's Court.
So my friend Jesse Thorne, the host of Public Radio's mm-hmm. Bullseye, has mm-hmm. his own podcast empire called Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Yes, exactly so.
Which means he's nonprofit.
That's true. Yeah. Believe me. and there I am without my mustache. And this is a great show. Thank you very much.
It might be my favorite thing that you do.
Oh, that's very kind.
There's something about it. I can't stop laughing.
It's been such a nice thing to do because, you know, basically people call in, they'll have a dispute, and the disputes range from like, my friend constantly steals. if he finds takeout food at the Chinese restaurant we go to, he found some takeout food abandoned on top of the cigarette machine and he took it home and ate it. And he wants, and is that okay? And no, the answer is no. Whether people should, and then some people, there was a long debate over whether or not a machine gun is a robot. Just, you know, people call up with real disputes. And I try to settle them in a binding fake court of internet justice.
Do they agree ahead of time that they will your decision is fine?
Well, they just like everyone, they say whatever they want to on the internet. I don't know if they mean it.
They might not.
Yeah, exactly.
They might not.
For all I know, they're not even people. They're just robots powered by Zappos.
Jesse's pretending that
there's a very popular social network. This guy had a dispute with his friend because his friend wasn't on this social network.
Facebook or whatever.
Let's just say like...
Like Facebook.
Facebook.
Like Facebook.
Right, exactly. So his friend wasn't on this social network, and he wanted his friend to be on the social network because he was constantly having to explain the in-jokes among their circle of friends that this dude was missing on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a joke, say, well, look, please don't buzz market the social network. If you're part of the social network street team... And you're sneaking onto my podcast to buzz market it. No.
No.
And he said, no, 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 no. Ha, ha, ha. Hilarious. We all had a good laugh. And then he starts going on. And says, it just seems to me that he would enjoy being on the social network because there are so many ways to share photographs and good times with your friends.
No.
I think he was actually buzz marketing.
He was actually doing it.
Yeah, I think it was actually like a secret buzz market.
That's so pathetic.
It was a good show, though.
Maybe he was pretending to be a buzz marketer.
Yeah, no.
Maybe he was spinning you.
There was a moment, though, where I was just like, you're really doing this, aren't you? You were really buzz marketing a social network that I shall not mention, because that's not, you know how I loathe advertising, everybody. It's not in me.
Not in him. Not one bit.
But thank you so much for mentioning that. It's a lot of fun. And
it's a great show.
Can I mention a couple of other things?
Do, and then we're going to let the audience at home ask questions
of you. Are they going to ask questions?
Yeah, you don't have to read them. I'll read them.
Okay.
One pair of glasses is probably sufficient. But is there anything else you want to plug before we go to the questions?
Just a couple of things that I would like people to know about.
Yes.
Human beings of the internet, you like Jonathan Colton. Of course you do. You're on the internet.
Yeah.
And here I am, too. You watch me sometimes. I'm on television occasionally. Did you know, if you're in the eastern part of the country, specifically Massachusetts, my home state, Colton and I are appearing for the first time together in over a year.
Wow.
Yeah, on November 2nd in Northampton, Massachusetts. My adopted hometown, November 3rd in Boston, Massachusetts, my actual hometown. I sure would love to see you all there. And if you come and you say that you heard it on Triangulation or any of the 10,000 twit netcasts that you might listen to, I'll give you something out of my pocket. It might be lint. It might be a Sharpie. There'll be some premium for you. There'll be something in it for you. Maybe one of 10,000 free Audible audiobooks that I was always giving away. It'll be something. I'd love to see.
Is there somewhere?
It's going to be really fun because I haven't performed with Colton
in a long time. Find your performance schedule on the
web? Yeah, johnhodgman.com.
It's all there.
Yeah, there's if you go the actual
under upcoming physical manifestations.
Upcoming physical manifestations, exactly. Yeah, okay. There it is. That's looking about right. There you go. November 2nd and November 3rd. It's right there.
All there. And you're in the Bay Area to do, you said, some shows?
No, I'm in the Bay Area to do this, Leo.
Really? Just this?
Yeah.
You came all the way out here just to do this? Surely there must be another.
Nope.
That's it.
There isn't any other reason. I
should offer you a glass of water or something before I set you back on the road.
Would be appropriate. That would have been appropriate at the beginning of this.
Would you like a glass of water, a glass of anything?
I hear you gave away all the Jägermeister that we drink at...
We actually have all the Jägermeister.
Do you have... Let me ask you this question.
We have every drop of that still.
Do you have any Malort?
No. What is Malort?
The Chicago-based sort of Swedish liqueur that tastes like wormwood and pencil shavings?
Never had that.
Oh, good. Thank heavens. Do you happen to have any alcoholic whipped cream?
We do, as a matter of fact. Would you like some?
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, we'll get you. We'll run and get you some alcoholic.
I'm just a little parched. I haven't had any dairy intoxicants today.
Do you really wear a robe during the sentencing?
The water, and then here's the Jaeger.
No, I didn't. No, no, thank you.
There's the alcoholic whipped cream, however.
Thank you very much. I'll shake
it. You know what's interesting fact about this?
No.
It says it right on here. Do not refrigerate.
Yeah. No, it's look at this. This will last you through Ragnarok and the end of the world, of course.
We just shoot it in our mouths, but if you'd like to...
This is what we call a Petaluma coffee. You know what? Maybe you should have refrigerated it because this is... I feel like this is not how it should be.
Would you like some mayonnaise? I have some here. This might help.
I feel like this should...
Now you're going to have to put some shoes on.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, see if the dog will eat it.
No, that's fine.
You know, this was really good when we first got it.
You'd think that it should be a little bit more frothy.
It doesn't seem so creamy as it used to be.
You know, now that I see you do that, and now that I picture how many times that's happened, I'm really sorry I put this in my... It's not even coffee, it's water. That's what makes it the Petaluma special. This is really
It's such a thrill to have you here. I got to say,
I'm not
very honored. Do you? When you do these events, do you do readings? Do you do jokes?
I don't do readings anymore.
Magic?
I don't do readings anymore. I mean,
why not?
That is to say, because I've gotten smarter, and I've lost the ability to read. But I no longer hold the book.
Are you saying reading is a vestigial ability?
It is. I've moved
beyond transcended.
It now that the singularity is occurring. I've replaced my brain with a thumb drive.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That must
take a lot of vitamins, download your brain to a thumb drive.
Boom.
Done.
Job
singularity.
Done.
Singularity kit.
You could go home.
I think that this alcoholic whipped cream has stained my jeans.
We'll get you some. Can we have some new jeans from Mr. Hodgman?
I don't do readings I used to do I would read from the book. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now that's
kind of what authors will do.
I do something that is much more of an imitation of stand-up comedy. I am definitely standing up.
Had you done this?
I'm presenting material from the book and also material that isn't from the book.
But you're telling jokes.
I'm telling jokes.
And you'd never done that before.
Not without a net, as it were. Not without the book. That had always been that I would tell stories and occasionally digress. Do you know what I mean? But I always had that there, and I no longer do it. So it's a new experience for me, and I think performing in that way and doing Judge John Hodgman is presuming that the world does not end in Ragnarok on December 21st. I think that is going to be the future for me.
You know,
I love performing and I love talking to people.
You're very good at it.
Around the country and telling them what to do and how to think.
Judge John Hodgman is entirely ad-libbed. It's not scripted or in any way.
Yeah, that's correct. I usually don't realize I'm doing it until halfway through.
You go, my God, I'm doing another podcast. I swore I would never do this
again. Sometimes I feel it must be how you feel.
Yes, exactly.
You are the
How did I get here?
For the elderly people in the crowd, you are the Truman Show. You are the This is the panopticon of your life. You are aging in real time on the internet.
We did not.
There's
turn
not
the
a
cameras
moment
off.
That you are not scrutinized.
I did note it that you posted on johnhodgman.com some older images of me. I don't know. Did you distort that somehow? That is not how my head looks.
You know, no one likes to see themselves. No one likes to see themselves on television.
It looks like an alien.
And people especially don't like to see themselves on television 1,000 years ago. But no, that's a...
Is that some sort of strange Instagram filter
seen? That's a photo from your office here, from the brick house. out sort of... It's very strange. There's just a blank wall.
Yeah, with a picture.
And in the middle of it, like with a thumbtack, there's this one little picture of you from the screensavers. And it brought back, you know, to me, that's like the equivalent of like an old-timey Western photo you get taken on the boardwalk.
And that's real.
And then there was a picture. There's a banner out there from Tech TV.
You also took a picture of that.
And I know from American Pickers that kind of old-fashioned advertising gets a lot of money at auction.
That's big bucks we got there.
I'm going to be stealing it.
Hanging on the wall. That and the alcoholic whipped cream is going to just be the, that's my, I'm saving for retirement.
And we're just getting a note here. Oh, here's the actual photo.
Now, see, that doesn't... I don't think that looks quite so distorted. Would you like me to sign that for you?
There we are. Yeah, do you have that Sharpie I threw at you before?
I did. I'll autograph that for you, John. Since you never did get to the screensaver set.
Hey, everybody, it's me, John Hodgman. If you've seen this man, then you probably have used a computer once. Because he's always on. This is what he looked like... In the 1950s, when he did his show about ENIAC on public television. And now look at him.
Oh, my.
The same. He doesn't age.
I have not aged. In fact, I think my hair is less white.
That would be terrific if you would sign that for me. That would be a good trade, a fair trade for the mayonnaise that I gave you from your own refrigerator.
It would indeed. And I'm going to get you to sign this book. And I'm going to get you to sign my audio book as well. Because
it's a digital download only.
Oh, that's really quite a disappointment.
You know, so I just have to, the only thing I can do is sign your chest.
Okay. All right. We will do that.
What is there anything that we can say to the chat room? Is this something that we need to do?
Somebody's heard the WFMU phone-in show.
Oh, yeah. The best show on WFMU.
Yeah.
Is pretty good, says, am I allowed to say their names?
Yeah.
Web7723.
Glad you did.
Chomp Mike, what kind of food does a Hodgman eat? You know, I eat regular high-protein nutritional paste, just like every other deranged millionaire. John, is it Swami, says John, is it as much fun as it seems to do your segments on The Daily Show as it seems? Yeah, I like it because I have a teleprompter, so I never repeat saying as it seems over and over again. ENIAC Fanboy, what is John Hodgman's favorite band he could recommend? Quack, what is on John Hodgman's favorite band he would recommend for the chat room?
He's from Europe.
I'm going to give you just a few right now. Here, where are we? There. Listen to me, Internet. The Long Winters, Mountain Goats, Toon Yards, and Megaphone. Those are the four that I'm listening to a lot right now. Okay. Scarlett Johansson, can you set me up? I don't even know what that's all about. It's just Internet.
It's going
static.
Very fast now.
Yeah, just Scarlett Johansson is thrown in. Web3740, sorry to interrupt. Can anyone recommend a free file extractor? Ran into a large file, unable to open an outdated XP.
You have a suggestion. Okay.
Yes, it's called Mustache, and it's available from my website, johnhodgman.com. It will destroy your computer. Do you recommend we wear two pairs of glasses, too, says Super Somebody or Other? Yeah, well, if you have a pair of shooting glasses that are not prescription, you have to wear two. You have to.
What is a shooting? What are shooting glasses?
They're for shooting. These were a gift from John Roderick of the Long Winters. He has a lot of glasses.
For shooting guns?
For shooting guns, yeah. You know, skeet shooting and...
Special glasses to protect your eyes?
Zombie shooting, that sort of thing. Okay. It was just, you know, it's like fog cutter glasses. You can see better.
You see the birds or whatever you're shooting at.
Your prescription.
The zombies.
No.
You've been invited to Cleveland?
I would love to go to Cleveland, absolutely. Okay. I was just in Columbus, Ohio, and that old rivalry...
The mistake on the lake, they call it.
John, did you contribute to the writing of any of the Apple ads? We answered that one already. Why don't you pay attention? Bo Boo, are you ready for the zombies? There aren't going to be zombies. That's not going to happen. I told you, Blood Wave, Omega Pulse,
robots coming to life.
The giant thing in the center of the Earth. What's
the sentry toad in the center of the
sentry
Earth. It's going to crack the Earth in half.
Yeah.
The big dog, the big dog robots from
Boston
Dynamics.
I think that's been discredited.
You don't think that's real?
I think that's not real.
Well, it's going to come to life.
They're
all going to come to life.
I think I heard on the news that was not going to happen.
Dog storm, but all the dogs in the world, including this one,
Ozzy,
are all going to form one super pack the size of Rhode Island and just take and feces all of America. So those are the things you have to worry about. People aren't going to come back to life as zombies. The only thing that's going to come back to life are taxidermied animals, and they're not going to get very far because they're nailed down.
They're glued. But what's nice about this book is you actually have a calendar of things as they happen. So you can be prepared. For instance, today, deep beneath Denver International Airport, scientists succeed in using the even larger Hadron Collider.
That's the good one.
To create a portal to another dimension, but what they do not know is what they will find on the other side.
Yeah. That is part of the Today in Ragnarok page-a-day calendar.
Yeah.
That runs atop the cross of every page
right.
and is also included in the audiobook in its own way. And that is a day-by-day predictor of the last year of human civilization.
And then you do something I think is quite clever, because you say the end, but then there's many, many more pages following.
Yeah, the end is the section about the end of the world.
Oh, that confused me. I thought the book was over.
And then the beginning is a flashback to when I stopped being a professional literary agent and started being a writer, which is more or less a true story, except for the parts that I made up.
Huh.
Yeah.
Has this been a good... Oh, yeah, I see. The beginning is at the beginning, and the end is at the end. And then goodbye is the last chapter.
Goodbye is the last chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah. For obvious reasons. Goodbye.
Will there be a fourth book if the world does not end?
What?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to challenge you.
I wrote 1,000 pages. I can't stop yet. When do
There's
I get to
more.
Stop? Look, I know that you do... I know that 500 podcasts a day isn't enough for you.
It's not enough.
Because you're a voracious beast.
I am.
But
I'm an animal.
Some of us, 1,000 pages is plenty.
I like the table of experts consulted.
I think I should put you in there.
I wasn't going to say.
You and Cammie from the late lamented Munchcast.
You were a Munchcast fan. I know that. In fact, we believe it or not, we kept that show alive an extra year because you were a fan.
Oh, no, I know.
You were the only person listening to it. And we actually made that show for
you, John. The
archives
are still up, right?
Oh, yeah. And we made it for you. I think we even mentioned that at some point.
Oh, yeah.
There's only one person listening. It's John Hodgman. But because of John, we kept the show going.
The first time you mentioned my name on any of your fake radio air...
It was that.
I think it was on there, and I was listening to it, and I almost and I fell off the treadmill. I was back during a brief non-sedentary period of my life.
In fact, John's amazing physical prowess and shape is due to Munchcast.
It's true. Exactly.
Thanks to Munchcast.
Oh, Leo Laporte, I'm such a fan.
So they miss you on Bored to Death. Was that character based?
Yeah, why get a time machine and go back and watch it? Maybe we'd still be on the air.
There you go.
I couldn't be sadder about that not existing anymore. I mean, again, another beautiful thing that I was essentially a tourist insofar as I had a little role, but it allowed me to go there and
it's
work.
It's great, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And Jason and Zach and Ted Danson, so amazing, so talented, and Jonathan Ames, the real Jonathan Ames who made it. And it was all made just a few blocks from my house. And
they made it in Brooklyn? That wasn't Hollywood?
Yeah. No. All of it was shot in New York.
Well, that's and unusual.
Lots of it in Brooklyn. Very little
great.
Of it in Manhattan.
Oh, that's great. And somebody's saying you have 7 toes, so I guess we now want to end the show because that was something that we didn't really want to talk about.
No, it's fine. That's it.
Will you comment on the presidential debate? Will you do a...
Depends on when you allow me to leave.
We're going to let you go right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, then maybe I'll get back to...
Wait a minute. I haven't shown him. I got to show him my bespoke box.
Here we go.
Would you get my bespoke box? I think I left it in my office.
Info Mistress asks, hey, Yaleys, Whiff and Poofs or Spizzwinks? It's not mutually exclusive.
You can listen to both. But
Jonathan Colton was a Spizzwink.
Was he a Spizzwink?
And a Whiff and Poof.
No, I didn't know he was a Whiff and Poof.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
I had him on for an hour? I didn't even ask him.
See, this is why.
He's a little lost lamb who's gone astray.
Were you a member of one of these singing groups?
No,
you
don't
have to
sing.
Understand everybody on the normal people on the internet. Leo and I went to, at different times, obviously,
Obviously.
We went to Yale University, which is an accredited four-year college in Southern Connecticut. Yes. And Jonathan Colton there also went there, too. Jonathan and I went at the same time. And at Yale, instead of having fraternities and sports teams and other sort of normal social clubs, it's all a cappella singing groups. So there are far more a cappella singing groups in New Haven, Connecticut than any population could possibly want or endure. And so there are about 7,000 a cappella singing groups. And the top a cappella singing group of them all is the Whiff and Poofs. And Cole Porter, for those of you who are sad and asthmatic at home, you know Cole Porter. Cole Porter was a Whiff and Poof. So they're
did he write the Whiff and Poof song? I wonder who wrote that.
You know, I used to believe that to be sure, a sure thing for true. But then I feel like I may have learned that it wasn't for true. I think that he did.
That must be confusing for
the internet will know.
The internet will
know. No, I'm sorry. I thought the internet would look up Cole Porter and Whiff and Poofs, but instead the internet just came up with, did he say Whiff and Poop? Thanks, internet. Thanks for fulfilling my expectations.
It's somewhat inconsistent. I have a gift for you. This is a sponsor of the show.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
It's called Bespoke Post.
What a delight.
And what they do is they do little gift packages.
Oh.
And if you go to bespokepost.com/twit, I did not save 20% on your first box. But you can have this. You can actually sign up for $270, I think, for 6 months. It's $45 a box.
Right.
You can return it if you don't like it. You can't return this.
No.
Because I've used it. But if I had not used it, you could return it. Oh. Comes in a fine, in this case, Macanudo cigar box, but it's not cigars. It is a Badger shaving brush and a stand.
Yeah.
The shaving oil.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you shave anymore, but...
I do.
I thought this would be appropriate.
I shave the non...
The non hair stuff?
The non-Pringles can mascot parts of my face.
Shave cream. Anyway, this is your little bespoke gift.
Thank you.
And I wanted to give this to you, and I want to invite everybody who's watching the show, if you want to find out more, to go to bespokepost.com.
Look at this. Look at all
Isn't
these...
Isn't that great?
These creams and ointments and unguents. It's so lovely. It's nice that I come here, I take a plane all the way here... just for one reason, to be on this show, and you repay me by making me check my bag on the way home. Thank you very much. No, it looks lovely.
Can we get a Ziploc bag for Mr. Hodgman? We'll put it in the Ziploc, and then it'll be—it's all under 3 ounces.
I don't want to know what you use Ziploc bags for here, given that you're
California
drinking alcoholic shaving cream from the nozzle.
They did have, and I wish
fly in Hollywood. Everybody,
I wish I'd know because I do think they have a special box for feet.
No, okay, I'll put my shoes back.
But
on
I didn't. I don't think that I.
This is fantastic.
Isn't that great?
Oh, lovely.
They're actually from New York City. They do a little curation. Here, we'll give you a little. This is a little Ziploc bag you can use to put the stuff
in. It's got a little cockroach.
Comes with a cockroach,
yeah,
which is okay. Nice.
Thanks.
That way, to the TSA people won't be tempted to steal your shaving.
Oh, do you know what happened today? I left my wristwatch in the security this morning.
No.
Yeah, so if any of you, this is a message for people of the internet. If any of you were at gate A2, the security line right by gate A2 at JFK for Virgin American this morning, a beautiful watch that my wife gave me.
I'm disappointed, and I feel really bad about it. Did it have an engraving of any kind on it? Or?
Yeah, Paul Smith, my other name.
My beloved husband, Paul Smith.
Oh. If you find it out there, everybody,
from your wife,
don't be a jerk.
Debbie.
Give it back to me. Groovy Brian says the TSA probably stole it. It's insights like that that make Brian so groovy. You're right, Brian. Of course. Of course you're right. Gabzilla says you're married rats. Oh, Gabzilla. Hello.
You don't want to know about Gabzilla. Thank you all for being here, for joining us for this very special occasion on Triangulation.
I'm not leaving.
John's going to stick around. We have another. What's the next show? Is it Ham Nation? Are you a ham?
What?
Ham?
I eat ham all the time. I thought you stopped Munchcast.
No. Is Ham Nation? What's
that? Oh, is this your ham radio? Is this your ham radio podcast?
Yeah.
Breaker.
No. You must not say that. They'd take that. Take a umbrage.
Oh, really? Do you ever pick up the ghost of Marlon Brando?
Yeah.
He was a ham radio enthusiast. Oh, yeah. He'd stay up all night talking from Tahiti.
No kidding.
Talking about the plight of the Native American and giving out muffin recipes.
I had no idea. If I had only known, I probably would have spent some more time on the airwaves.
You don't really have a ham radio a netcast, do you?
What's the next show on the air?
Ham Nation.
6 o'clock.
6 p.m. If you stick around, you could go to the.
How
you could
can
watch,
I not?
You could watch the debates, or you can be on the ham show.
That's incredible. What are you doing? What? How many net casts do you need?
I want more.
Do you have one about Morse code?
That's Ham Nation. That's one of the things.
Oh, that's one of the things you cover, right?
It goes together.
Do you have a netcast just about pneumatic tubes?
No, but that's a great idea.
Boy,
we've been looking for something to do in the back room here. We could put a whole network of tubing.
Absolutely.
Do you have? You should have every
today in penny farthing bicycles.
Every deranged millionaire. I always wanted the, you know, like they have them in the old department stores where you put a message, and then you go. And it just goes, and it goes to some other place.
Yeah.
I always wanted one of those.
You should. We should build a whole thing here.
We could put pneumatic tubing in.
It's not too late.
Do they still?
I'm sure that there's some hipster bespoke pneumatic tubing outfit in San Francisco. Come on.
I
know there's a secret speakeasy somewhere in San Francisco where you place your order in hobo code and throw it into a pneumatic tube and it shoots off to a brass lined bar. Where a dude in a leather pith helmet gets it.
Kelly Tube Systems, a century of integrating service with technology. They make, apparently they make tubes.
What is this you're going to show?
I don't know. Apparently they're putting in a tubing system, a pneumatic tubing system with vegetables.
Wait a minute. Are they going to send those vegetables through a pneumatic tube? And when they come out the other side, are they going to be dehydrated?
On the internet.
Wow. I think you have a new sponsor. And a new podcast.
I want that.
This Week in Tubes with John Hodgman.
John, a pleasure. Real thrill. Thank you.
I'm sure there's
some other reason you're out here. But
there is. I'm going to tell you one more time. You have to believe me. There isn't. I came out exactly for this reason.
I am honored. And
nice to see you.
Thrilled.
What a pleasure. I'll come back anytime.
Thank you.
Enjoy
your bespoke shaving kit. And stay as long as you want.
Good night.
We've stolen your shoes. Triangulation appears on the TWiT network on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC. Don't drink that. Please, I beg of you. Oh, God, we're going to be known as the show that killed John Hodgman. That's so sad. I don't want to go down in history that way.
What's that?
The show that the person that killed John Hodgman.
I just had a lot of whipped cream. Sorry.
That's amazing. Is that my card?
Oh boy.
Is that your card? John Hodgman, ladies and gentlemen, and
report everybody.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. You know,
when is this? When does your Hamcast start?
6 o'clock. We did this whole show, and I'm so upset. The lower third, there's no space between October and 2012. And we did the whole show that way. I don't think that would have
act together.
That would not have happened on The Daily Show. Here comes the tubes, by the
together.
Way. They're bringing the tubing in.
Yeah, we're getting ready for the show.
Oh, This Week in Tubes.
What the hell?
Fantastic. What is that? Showing me blue meth? Is that what it is?
Yeah, we'd like to also give you...
Well, I'm a big Breaking Bad fan, so this means a lot to me.
Yeah. This is very rare. There's only a small amount of that left in the U.S., and that also you can have.
What is this?
But I would suggest not going, trying to go through the airport security with that.
Oh, really?
You need to use that now. Let's put it that way. Oh, he just ate it. It was fun. I feel so horrible about that. That's terrible. Who knew he was? He had some sort of sensitivity, apparently.
Oh, everyone can see my belly.
Okay, would you save that for our reel? The day John Hodgman died, or at least had a minor stroke.
Where am I? I was just enjoying some bath salts and butt checking, and all of a sudden this happened. Does this ever end? Can I leave?
You must.